Hufalef Amadalef at the very top of the page. So the Mishnah said, Hayu Shneim Kohanim. Tanu Rabbanan, Hiko Zeh V'chazer V'hiko Zeh, Kilo Zeh V'chazer V'kilo Zeh, Kilo Shneim B'vas Achas, Hiko Shneim B'vas Achas Chayav, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'vas Achas Chayav, B'zeh Achar Zeh Pater. So comes the Gemara with the following Machlokas. Again, this goes back to that strange case we had in the Mishnah of the guy who didn't know who his father was because they didn't wait the requisite 3 months after the divorce, let's say. So now there's a child. We don't know who the father of the kid is. And now the question becomes, well, what about all the ramifications that emanate from having a father, one of which or two of which is cursing or hitting your father? Right? If we know the din is if you curse or hit your father, you're chayiv misa. But what if you don't know if the guy that you hit or cursed is really your father? So the Gemara has the following scenario. We know that one of these two guys is definitely his father. So the Gemara says, let's say he hit one after the other, or he hit them at the same time. According to the Tanakhama, he's going to be chayiv. If at the end of the day, both men involved got hit or cursed, whether it was simultaneous or not, so then the kid's chayiv, because he obviously hit or cursed his father. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're only chayiv if you hit them simultaneously, but not one after another. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'hasanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Patr b'vas achas. Doesn't the Braisa say that Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that not only are you patr if you hit them one after another, but even if you hit them simultaneously, you're putter. So the Gemara says, you're right. Trade Tainoi Alibi to Rabbi Huda. There were two different versions of what Rabbi Huda really held. So the Gemara explains, my time of demand of Fatar. What's the logic behind the opinion that says that you're not Chayiv in this case? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Nemar Bracha Lamata, Venemar Bracha Lamala. Malamala, Shein Bashutfus, Aflamata, Shein Bashutfus, Veiskash Hakala Klala. The Gemara says that we draw a comparison when it comes to the realm of hitting and cursing in the context of the Isra to curse Hashem. So when it comes to the prohibition against cursing God, so the Gemara says that there's no other Shutfus. There's no one else involved. The prohibition is cursing God. If you curse God and someone else, God and another deity or another person, that's not the Isser. So to hear the Isser, if you hold like this opinion in the Gemara, then you're not going to be chayav for cursing your father if there's two people involved. Again, if you don't know definitively which one is your father. Okay, then we send the Mishnah. If you remember, we mentioned at the end of the Mishnah yesterday, that this kid who's, again, he's a suffix. Remember we said that both his fathers are Kohanim, but again, he doesn't know which one is really his father. So we said that he should go up to the Mishmar, right, to do the Avoda, but he's just not going to get any share of the Karbanos or the hides of the animal. So the Gemara then asks, if he's not getting a share of the Karbanos, why bother going up to the Beis HaMikdash in the first place? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Lama Ola Ha'amar Ba'ina Dini Avon Mitzvah. The guy wants to go do a mitzvah. So even though it's true he won't be able to get a share of the Karbanos, but at least he could participate in the Avoda. So the Gemara says, no. Ela Ola Lo Katane, Ela Ola ba'al-karcho. The Gemara says, no. That the Mishnah made it sound like not that the guy just wanted to go up to the Mikdash on his own, makes it sound like he has an obligation to go. We're going to force him, we're going to compel him to go do avod in the Mikdash. But the question is, if he's not entitled to a share of the animal, the hides, why are we compelling him to do so? So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rav Acha bar Chanina, Amar Abai, Amar Rabbi Yasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Pega Mishpacha. It's really a tangential reason. The reason why we're insisting that this guy, even though we don't really know who his father is, but we know that both of his theoretical fathers are Kohanim, the reason why we're insisting that he goes to the Mikdash to participate in the Avodah and the Mishmar is because otherwise it's going to look bad on his family. It's going to be a Pegam Mishpacha. People are going to think that maybe one of the families are not really Kohanim or whatever it is. So in order to avoid that potential, theoretical thought, we insist that he goes up to the Mikdash. Okay, then we said, Vimhayu Shneim B'Mishmar. The Mishnah said that if both fathers were part of the same Mishmar, so then the kid is entitled to a share of the Karbanos because Mimanav Shach, he's part of that Mishmar anyway, so he should be able, he should be entitled to a share of the skins of the hides of the animal. So asks the Gemara, Maishna Shnei Mishmaros Delo, the Azel Laham Mishmaru Marchule, the Azel Laham Mishmaru Marchule, Mishmar Echanami Azel Lahai Beisavu Marchule. So the Gemara says again, the obvious implication of the Mishnah is that if the two theoretical people who might have been his father, who again were both Kohanim, but they were from different Mishmaros, so then he's not going to be entitled to any part of the Karban because each Mishmar could say, you're not part of our Mishmar, they could push him away. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, even if both fathers were part of the same Mishmar, you could still have that theoretical deflection because they could be from different bate av. Each mishmar was broken down by family. So just because you were in the same mishmar, it didn't mean that you were doing avod on the same day. You had to be part of the same base av. So there was in other words, each mishmar broke down into multiple bate avos. So you could theoretically have a case where the two fathers are from the same mishmar, but from different bate avos. So the guy can come and say, I demand a share of the karban. They can say, no, you're not part of our base av. So the obvious answer is, Amar Rav Papa, Hachi Kamar, Imayushneim, Mishmar Rechon, Uves Avecha, Notel Chelekecha. The Gemara says, you're right. The case obviously must be that both of the theoretical fathers were not only from the same Mishmar, but also from the same Beis Av. In that scenario, then the kid has a definitive claim on a stake of the Karban, of the hides, whatever it is. But if it's anything short of that, if they're from different Batei Av, and certainly from different Mishmaros, then they could just kind of deflect them and say, no, you belong to a different Mishmar, to a different Beis Av. You're not entitled to a share of our Karban. Okay, Hajar Alach, Nosa, Nala, Nusa.
Rabbi, we've been saying here
yeah.
that, okay, you know, they can't participate because of different Mishmar, different Beis Av, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
It's nice that they broke this down into 24 Mishmaros, and this is how we pay everything.
Right.
But is it something wrong if, let's say, I was from this Mishmar, but I participated in a different day? I mean, is this a halachic code thing?
The Mishnah.
It's nice that we want.
No, the case. The case that we're discussing here is not talking about, again, first of all, the Mishnah said that the guy is supposed to go up to do avoda. No one's questioning that. The issue that we're trying to figure out here is whether he's entitled to getting a share of the hides of the animal that normally regular Kohanim from that particular Mishmar or Beis Av are entitled to. The only reason why we would say that he's not entitled to that is if he's theoretically not part of this Mishmar or Beis Av, right? If it's the wrong one, because we don't really know who his father is.
People
didn't want to share.
Oh, that's not really.
Is it just a matter of like?
That's not really the issue. Maybe in theory that could be true, but the point here is that this is really a Dine Mamonos question. This is a question of monetary law. So, you know, whenever you have a question of Dine Mamonos and Halacha, we always have a principle called Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. You have to prove that you have a claim to this, right? I can't walk over to you and say that shirt that you're wearing belongs to me. I have to prove that. So the guy's coming over and trying to claim that hide of the animal is mine, so you have to prove you're part of the Mishmar, you're part of the Beis Av. There's no way for him to do that unless he's actually both fathers are part of the same Mishmar, part of the same Beis Av. That's the point. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Mitzvah Chalitza Bishlosha Dayanin, Va'afilu Shlashtan Hegiotos. When it comes to the Mitzvah of Chalitza, you require three Dayanim, but the Mishnah is quick to clarify that Dayanim is not being used in a literal sense of, you know, expert judges. Even three laymen, three regular people would also suffice. Chalitza B'minal Chalitza Sakshira, Ba'anpilya Chalitza Sapsula. If you used a leather shoe, that's valid for Chalitza, whereas a cloth shoe is not. Besandal Sheyesh If the shoe has a heel, that's good. If it doesn't have a heel, then it's invalid. Then the Mishnah continues, Min ha'arkuva ulamata chalitza ksheira, Min ha'arkuva ulamala chalitza psula. If let's say, for example, the man is an amputee, so he's missing his leg. So if his leg was only severed or cut off from the knee and below, he meaning to say he still has a stump for a leg, that's okay. You can still put the shoe on the stump. But if he doesn't even have that, if he doesn't even have a stump, so then the chalitza is invalid. Chalitza b'sandal she'ein shalo, if you were to use a shoe that doesn't belong to you, or a wooden shoe, or you put the left shoe on the right foot, so in all those cases, the Mishnah says, b'diyeved, the chalitza is okay. And similarly, if you use a shoe that's too big or too small, assuming that you could either walk in it, or it would at least cover the majority of your foot, so the Mishnah says that's also okay. So asks the Gemara, "Umeacher da afilu shlosha hegiotos dayanin lamali." So the Mishnah seems a little misleading. In the very opening line of the Mishnah, it said that you need three dayanin, but even if they're hegiotos, even if they're regular laymen. So the question is that if you only require three laymen to witness the chalitza, why does the Mishnah specify that they're dayanin? Dayanin usually implies that they're, you know, mumchen, that they really know the halacha. Why would the Mishnah then turn around and say, well, even if they're regular people, that's also okay? So the Gemara says, ha'kamash malan, deva'inam b'shlosha sheyodim l'hakros ke'in dayanin. They have to be similar to dayanin in the sense that they have to be proficient at reading and helping the yavam and yavama to recite the psukim associated with chalitza. Tanina l'ha d'sanu rab. And in fact, the Braisa quotes this machlokus and it frames it in this way and says that according to the Tanna Kamma, you need to have your three dayanim. And again, they don't have to literally be dayanim, they have to be hegiotos who are proficient and can help them read the psukim. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need to have five dayanim. So asks the Gemara, my time at the Tanna Kamma, Desanya, Zikenim Shnayim, Ve'in Bezdin Shakel, Mosifin Alein Odach on Harekan Shlosha. For Rabbi Yehuda, Zikne Shnayim, Zikenim Shnayim, Ve'in Bezdin Shakel, Mosif and Alein Odechad Harei Kan Chamisha. So basically, it's the machlokes, whether it's three or five, breaks down to a question of how to interpret psukim. So according to the Tanna Kamma, you have the word zkenim, which is in the plural, so zkenim implies two. And we know, of course, in halacha, you can never have an even number of dayanim on a bezdin, so you have to bump it up to three. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have an additional word. You have not only zkenim, but you also have the word ziknei, the karu ziknei iro. So the word ziknei adds another two. And then again, it can't be an even number, so you bump it up to five. Then the Gemara asks, Vasana Kama high ziknei my avid. So what's the Tana Kama going to do with that additional word ziknei? Miboy leilu rabuya yafilu shlosha hajiotu. So the Tana Kama derives from there that even three laymen are enough, as we pointed out in the beginning of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda hajiotos minale. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that three laymen suffice? That in other words, they don't need real, you know, real dayanim mumchim, real, you know, experts or bikian. So the Gemara says nafka le mila enei. The amar mar le enei prat lesumim. Comes the Gemara and says that Rabbi Yehuda derives that halacha from the word le'enei. What do we see from the word le'enei? You see that the people, that the dayanim or the hejotos who are witnessing the chalitza, they cannot be blind. How does that prove that you don't need to have expert judges, that even laymen are sufficient? So the Gemara explains, umid itshrich le'enei lema'ute sumim, the fact that I need a separate drusha derived from the word le'ene to teach me that a person who's blind cannot witness a chalitza, or in other words, can't be on the bezdin for a chalitza, you see from here that even hejiotos are good enough. How do you see that? The isal kadaitach sanhedrin ba'inan lama lila ma'ute sumin mi the sonei Rav Yosef nafka. The sonei Rav Yosef k'shem she bezdin minukim b'tzedek kach bezdin minukim mikomo shene emar kulach yafar raya si umum inbach. The Gemara says if the starting point was that the dayanim for chalitza needed to be real, full-fledged dayanim who really knew the halacha, and they couldn't just be regular laymen, you wouldn't need a separate drasha, a separate pasuk to teach me that those who are blind are disqualified, because we already know that people who have physical blemishes are not qualified to be real dayanim on the Sanhedrin. That Gemara and Sanhedrin derives from a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, kulach yafar rayasi umum in bach, that my beloved is beautiful and there's no blemish. So the Gemara interprets that pasuk as referring to the members of the Sanhedrin, that not only must they be yashar in terms of their actions, but also physically. They can't be blemished. So the Gemara says, we already know that members of the Sanhedrin cannot be blind, so I wouldn't need a separate pasuk to teach me that they couldn't be blind for chalitza, unless the starting point was that you don't really need dayanim for chalitza, that hejiotos are sufficient. So now the question, of course, is, v'idach, hahula enei ma'avidle. So now the question, now we throw the question back to the Tana Kama. What does the Tana Kama derive from the word le'enei? So the Gemara says, hahula chederava hudasa. The Amar Rava, tzrichei dayanei lemech zeruka dekanafin lipumadiyavama, dechsev le'enei hazkenim biyarika. The Tana Kama derives from that pasuk that the dayanim have to actually see the saliva coming out of the yavama's mouth, because the Gemara derives that from the fact that it says that le'enei hazkenim v'yarika, that she spits in front of the zakenim. You actually have to witness that. So then the question, of course, is v'idach nami mi'boy le'chidu Rava. Doesn't Rav Yehuda also need that drusha from the word le'enei to teach that statement of Rava that the zakenim have to witness the saliva? So the Gemara says, "Nechanami, you're right. Le'ela hejiotos minali." So how then does Rav Yehuda know that you can suffice with laymen to witness the chalitza, and you don't need real dayanim? So the Gemara says, "Nafka mi bi Yisrael, Yisrael kol dehu." He derives it from the word Yisrael, right? It says, "V'nikrashimo bi Yisrael." So you see from the word bi Yisrael, even any Jew. In other words, it doesn't have to be the most, the biggest Talmud Chacham. Any Jew is also going to suffice as a dayan for chalitza. Then, of course, the question is, "V'idach hay Yisrael ma'avle." What does the Tana Kama do with the word Yisrael? So the Gemara says, "Miboy lechidestani Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda bi Yisrael bevezden shel Yisrael v'lo bevezden shel ger." We're going to come back to this point at the end of the daf, but basically the Gemara says that the only types of people who are qualified to witness a chalitza or to be on the bezdin for a chalitza are regular Jews, but not gerim. Gerim cannot sit on the bezdin for a chalitza. Then the Gemara says, "V'idach b'Yisrael acharin aksiv." Whereas Rabbi Yehuda will say that there's an additional word b'Yisrael written. In other words, the word Yisrael is written a second time to teach me that halacha. So the first drasha Rabbi Yehuda says of Yisrael teaches me that any Jew suffices. I don't need to have a bucky or a real dayan to be on the bezdin. And then the second mention of Yisrael teaches me that gerim are disqualified to be on the bezdin for chalitza. V'idach miboy lelechidasanya. Amar Rav Yehuda pamachas hayinu yoshrin lefnei Rabbi Tarfon uva'ayuvama lachlot. So one time Rabbi Yehuda says, I was sitting in front of Rabbi Tarfon and there was a woman who came to do chalitza. Amar lanu anu kulchem chalutzanal. And Rabbi Tarfon said to us, everyone should say the words chalutzanal, because the pasuk says in Parashas Kisetze, v'nikrashimo b'Yisrael beis chalutzanal. So in other words, Rabbi Tarfon took that pasuk literally, that everyone has to make this proclamation that you have to say the words chalutzanal. The woman who removed the shoe from the man. So according to this drasha of Rabbi Tarfon, that's what we're deriving from the extra word Yisrael. And the Gemara says, V'idach mi v'nikra nafka. And Rabbi Yehuda will derive that from the first word in that pasuk, from the word v'nikra. V'nikra shemo b'Yisrael, that you actually have to declare, you have to verbalize those words, chalutz hana. So then the Gemara asks, Ela me'ata, v'karu shnayim v'dibru shnayim, hachinami l'Rabbi Yehuda, harei kantisha l'Rabbanan, harei kanshiva. So the Gemara says like this, if we're so insistent on analyzing all the words in the context of the parsha of Yibam and Chalitza, and every time we find a word that's in plural, some sort of an action associated with Chalitza, we're going to say, oh, now we have to add another two dayanim and another two dayanim, right? So now the problem is that there are actually two other words in those psukim that seem to be unaccounted for. The word vikaru, that the zakenim call, so that's in the plural, and then vidiberu, that they speak and they tell the man and the woman about the process of chalitza. That adds an additional, you know, four dayanim, which means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we should have nine dayanim, and according to the Rabbanim, we should have seven. Why is the machlokas 3 verses 5? Should really be 7 verses 9. So the Gemara says, no. Hahumi boy le lechidasanya. The karu ulo velo shlucham. The diberu elav melamin shemasin lo etza hahogenes lo. Shemhaya hu yelid vihiz kena. Hu zakein vihi yalda. Omrim lo malacha etzel. Yalda malacha etzel. Kena klach etzel shekemoscha vel tachnis ktata lesoch beisacha. The Gemara says, no. We derive something else from these psukim. From the word vikaru lo, we derive that the zakenim themselves have to be the ones to utter the proclamation regarding chalitza. They cannot appoint emissaries or messengers to do their work for them. They have to be the ones to be involved in the chalitza themselves. And the other halacha we derive from the words v'dibru elav is that basically they give the man and the woman good advice. So for example, if there's a large age discrepancy between the yavam and the yavama, so they say don't do yibam, but rather do chalitza, because if there's too much of an age gap, it's going to lead to quarrel and fighting in the home. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, halacha chalitza b'shlosha ho v'sasam lantana kivase. Comes the Gemara in Paskins that chalitza requires a bezdin of 3 people. How do we know that? Because we have a stam mishnah that seems to indicate that way. As we'll see throughout this Gemara, This is referring to the opening mission of Maseches Sanhedrin, which lists many different areas of halacha. In other words, how many dayanim are required for various areas of halacha. So the Mishnah says that chalitza requires 3. The Gemara says that's how we pass it. So Amar Le Rav, Rav Nachman, Ihachi Mion Nami, Desnana Mion V'Hachalitza B'Shlosha. By that logic, says the Gemara, that Mion, the process of refusal, which we're going to talk a lot more about next week, right? The process of refusal for the girl who gets married off by her older brother or her mother if her father died, right? That whole process, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah rather in Sanhedrin, should also suffice with 3. That's what it says in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, okay, the Chitei Mahachanami, tell me, okay, maybe that's in fact the case. Maybe Miyun does require 3. The problem is the Hasanya, Miyun, Beishamay Omrim Bezdin Mumchin, Uveisel Omrim Bevezdin, Veshalo Bevezdin, Elu Veelu Modim, Shetzarech Shlosha, Rabbi Yossi, Barabbi Yehuda, Barabbi Elazar, Barabbi Yossi, Machshirim, Bishnayim, Va'amar Rabbi Yossi, Bar Manum, Yomar Rav Nachman, Halacha Ka'oso Azut. The problem is like this, that the Gemara references references a Gemara a little bit later on, also in Sanhedrin, that basically presents a machlokas about this issue. So yes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree, both concede that Miyun does in fact require 3. There's, you know, a technical machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel whether the 3 have to be, you know, Dayan and Mumchim. Can they be lay people? Does it have to be in Bezdin or out of Bezdin? That's kind of a side point. But the main point is that there are a whole other group of Tanaim who disagree and say that Miyun suffices with even 2 Dayanim, and the Gemara says that's how we paskin. We paskin 2. So in other words, how can our Gemara claim that you require 3 Dayanim for Mion? It's not true. We paskin seemingly that 2 are the, that 2 dayanim suffice. So the Gemara says no. Hasam chad stama v'hacha trei stama. The Gemara says no. There's a big difference. We have 2 stam mishnayos. We have 2 unattributed mishnayos. One in the beginning of Sanhedrin and one here in Yevamos that say that chalitza requires 3. Whereas when it comes to Mion, all you have is that mishnah in Sanhedrin. That's all. So since you only have 1 unattributed mishnah, apparently that's not considered enough of a proof. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hasam nami trei stama inenu. Disnan miana osha chalta befanav yisa enam. There's also a Mishnah earlier in this Masechta, also appears in Maseches Bechoros, that says that if, let's say, for example, the girl does Mion or Chalitza in front of a Dayan, that Dayan is allowed to now turn around and marry that woman. Because, in other words, the assumption is that we don't assume that the Dayan had ulterior motives, that he was really, he was really following the proper procedures, and now that the woman is available after Mion or Chalitza, he can go ahead and marry her. So that's a second Mishnah that seems to indicate that Mion must take place in front of a Bezdin, which usually assumes 3 people. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elohasim trei stami hacha tlasa stami. So you're right. We have 3 stam mishnayos, 3 unattributed mishnayos that say that chalitza must be done with 3 dayanim, whereas for Mion, we only have 2. So the Gemara says, okay, but at the end of the day, michdi, hastama v'hastama, mali chatstam, mali trei stam, mali tlasa. In other words, this all seems to be semantics. In other words, who cares? I have 1, 2, 3 unattributed mishnayos. At the end of the day, I have X number of unattributed mishnayos that say that chalitza and mion require 3 dayanim. So how come all of a sudden, well, I only have 2 for mion, so that's not good enough. Why is that not good enough? Why is that not enough of an indication that mion should require 3 dayanim? So the Gemara says, you're right. Yeah, question?
Does mion require require any sort of document?
We're going to talk about that next week. That's going to be, the next paragraph is all about the details of Mian. We're going to get to that a little bit next week. Yeah, we'll see. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Ho'alu Stam B'mkot Machlokas, Tisnan, Smicha Zekenim Ve'egla Arufa B'shlosha Divir Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda Omer B'chamisha, HaChalitza V'hameunin B'shlosha V'lo Kapalik Rav Yehuda, Shmamina Ahadar B'Rav Yehuda Shmamina. The Gemara says like this, that the real indication to us that, in other words, regarding this question about whether Mion needs three or whether Chalitza needs three, it's based on the formulation of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. As we noted before, that opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin rattles off several areas of halacha, but how many dayanim are required in different areas. So for example, when it comes to the din of smicha, leaning on an animal as a form of fidui before offering it as a karban, or for the process of egla arufa, the Mishnah presents machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, but how many dayanim are required for that? Rabbi Yossi says three, Rabbi Yehuda says five, and yet, when it comes to the halachos of chalitza and mion, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says you need three dayanim, and it doesn't pipe up. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say, no, you need five. So the fact that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin doesn't cite a dissenting opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which it does for other halachos in that same Mishnah, is an indication that Rabbi Yehuda retracted his position. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says, you see, it's not based on the number of unattributed Mishnahs. That's not the issue. It's based on the text and the formulation of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin itself, which is leading us to believe that both Mion and Chalitza, in fact, require, that Chalitza requires three. Mion, seemingly, you know, maybe we can suffice with two. That was part of the Gemara's earlier discussion. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Tzrichei Dayane Lemikva Duchta, Dichsiv, Alasayiv Imto Hashara El Hazekenim. Part of the Chalitza process is that the Dayanim or the Zekenim have to set aside a place, a location where the Chalitza is going to occur. Rav Papa Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yehoshua Avde Uvda Bachamisha, Kaman Kerav Yehuda. So these Amoraim, they insisted on having five Dayanim, and presumably following the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Hahadar Be, but didn't Rabbi Yehuda himself just retract that position and say that really three is enough? So the Gemara says, you're right, Lefarsume Mil. So they were simply doing it to publicize the matter, meaning to say, Me'ikar Adin, you really only need three, but they insisted on five so that everyone would know that the Chalitza was happening. Rav Ashi Ikla Leverav Kahana, Amar Le Solik Mar Le Gabal Le Maluye Bechamsha. So Rav Ashi went to Rav Kahana's house and he said, join us in the Chalitza so that we have five people. So Amar Rav Kahana, Hava Ka'im Ne Kameh De Rav Yehuda, Va Amar Le Tos Sak Le Zirza Dekane Le Itztarufe Bechamsha. He told me, go up to the pile of reeds, so again, to join in the five people who are required for the Chalitza. So Amar Le Lama Le Chamsha, so why do you need five? Amar Le Huki Hechid Le Fire Seim Mil. Again, it's not that five is required, as we noted, it was simply there to publicize the matter. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Hava Ka'i Kameh De Rav Yehuda, Amar Le Sak Tol Le Zirza Dekane Le Itztarufe Bechamsha Le Fire Seim Mil. Again, the same story. He tells him to go up to the pile of reeds to join him with five people for Chalitza, again, in order to publicize the matter. Amar Le Tanina, Be Yisrael Bevezdin, Yisrael Velo Bevezdin Shal Gerim, Va'ana Gerana. So the problem was, is that after Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda went up to Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda told him to be part of this Bezdin for Chalitza, he said, I can't be part of the Bezdin because I'm a ger, because I converted along with my father, and as we noted in the Gemara earlier, only regular Jews can be part of the Bezdin for Chalitza and not gerim. So before the Gemara analyzes the din, the Gemara says, I'm a Rav Yehuda, could go to Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, but pikna mamona apume. He says that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda is so reliable, so trustworthy. The fact that he basically made it known to us that he was a ger, no one apparently knew that about him. It wasn't public knowledge. The fact that he went out of his way and was honest about his own status means that he's so reliable that you can even take money from people based on his own testimony. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Gemara says, you can have the guy who's the most honest, trustworthy guy on planet Earth. He's not two edim. You can't take money from people without two edim. The Gemara says, you're right. Rather, what he meant to say was that he's so credible that if let's say some guy came with an IOU and said that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda owes me money, and he said, I already paid it up, even if he has no proof to that, I would believe him. That's what it means. He's so trustworthy that I would believe him to say that he paid up his debt. And then finally, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Ger Don Es Chaveru Dvar Torah Shene Amar, Som Tasim Alecha Melech, Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha, Bo Mikarev Achecha Tasim Alecha Melech, Alecha Hu Deboinu Mikarev Achecha, Va Ger Don Es Chaveru Ger. The Gemara says, that requirement that a person who's judging you must be a regular Jew and not a convert is only necessary if they're judging another regular Jew, but a Ger can be a Dayan for another Ger. That's what the Gemara says. Vim Haise Imo Mi Yisrael, Don Afilu Yisrael. If his mother is Jewish, meaning he's basically a regular Jew, then he can obviously judge other Jews as well. However, the only exception is for Chalitza. In order for a person to be a Dayan for Chalitza, it's not enough to be a halachic Jew. Your father also must be Jewish. The Gemara derives that because it says v'nikrashim obi Yisrael, that he calls your name in Yisrael, meaning to say that the father also has to be Jewish in order for him to qualify as a Dayan for Chalitza.